What's up, everybody, and welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. This is Will Pruitt here to guide you through the twists and turns that was? I'll look that up. That happened on TNA Impact last night, despite my lack of grammar skills. Cut me a break, guys. It's 7:30 in the morning, and I am, like, not even halfway into my first cup of coffee. This could be a rough one. But you know what's not rough? On you, the consumer, the ProWrestling.net 5-year anniversary sale. You should probably take advantage of that. Our best rates ever, especially the annual membership coming up for $55. That's less than $5 a month. We've never offered it that low. It's a phenomenal deal if you feel like taking that, locking it in. I mean, that gets you all the way through next year's Royal Rumble, guys. You'll be enjoying all the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership all the way through the Rumble. Also have $30 for the 6-month membership, and if you just want to try it out for a month, see if you like it, see if you want to keep it, hey, it's $5, you know? Forgo that delicious meal at In-N-Out or whatever fast food restaurant you people that don't have In-N-Out eat at, because that's weird not to have In-N-Out. Looking at you, Midwest. But forgo a little fast food. Head on over to ProWrestling.net, click that membership link at the top right-hand side of the page. Boom, get yourself some of that sale. It's completely worth it. I was a paying member of the site prior to actually starting to write for the site. I really believe in the product that we put out there. And you may be asking what that product is now that I've outlined prices. You get hours and hours of ProWrestling.net member exclusive audio, including the .net countdown show with myself and Jake Barnett counting down the top 5 moments of the week and the bottom 3. The .net weekly show, the flagship of ProWrestling.net, Jason Powell and Chris Shore break down the news of the week, kind of give a little analysis on it, and often in that show break first run news. The ProWrestling.net Q&A with Jason Powell. Powell will, you know, he'll answer your questions, wrestling history, wrestling theory, anything you want, including non-wrestling subjects. Have some great TV discussions in there. Have some great just nonsense discussions in there. On top of doing all that, he'll also on occasion, if you have a question that he doesn't know, he'll go to one of his sources within a company and check on that and, you know, report back to you about it. It's a really, really neat little segment of audio that he does that is phenomenal. Also, you get audio reviews of every TV show. I do this review every week. You don't hear it every week on the All Access side, but I do it. You get the audio review of Raw. You get the SmackDown one that you already get on the All Access side. Pay-per-views and so much more. Also, you get access to the library of ProWrestling.net interviews that is constantly growing. In that library, you've got former WWE or former TNA creative team member and current WWE manager, Dutch Mantel. You've got Chris Jericho, Brock Lesnar, golly, you've got Daivari with a really good interview. Gregory Helms with a really great, or Shane/Gregory Helms, the really great interview. The list goes on and on. Just some really great content for our .NET members that they can go back and listen to at any time. Lots of talks with former WWE creative team members, Court Bauer. Former WWE creative team member Seth Mates joins us on an annual basis to talk about WrestleMania, or at least has like 3 out of the last 4 or 2 out of the last 3 years, and last year we booked him a year out, so it's definitely a great value, and we really hope that you'll consider signing up. And that's basically it. Let's get into this episode. This was the first one from London, the first Impact episode from London. It was the Valentine's Day episode, and one thing about this London arena that they had, or the Wembley arena in London that they had over the place in Manchester, they had sold out the top bowl in this as well. And I think just the way the arena is structured, it's structured to look a little bit bigger as well. The floor seating in the first bowl didn't actually come all the way down to the floor. It had a little bit of a rise to it, even at the bottom, which meant that looked like a whole other section of seating. It was just a really, really, you know, it's a well put together arena for wrestling. It looked great. TNA did this big camera pan back where you could see, you know, the top of the building all lit up, and it looked really good. I have to compliment just what TNA did production wise on this show, because it looked phenomenal. For the last couple of weeks, I complained about the lack of entrances in Manchester, that they just cut to wrestlers in the ring, and one of my favorite parts of wrestling is the entrance. They fixed that with this show. And the entryway, it's not the nicest thing, you know. It's some lights in a tunnel. It's not this great, amazing set that WWE has, or that TNA even had in the Impact Zone. But, you know, it looked good. There were lights on it. They moved. Wrestlers looked like big deals coming out of it, and more just the reactions that wrestlers got as they walked out of it were worth having that tunnel for. Absolutely. So the show opened with Hulk Hogan. Well, it opened with a previously on Impact package, but, you know, the show opened with Hulk Hogan. By the way, if you want to follow along with me, go to prowrestling.net. Check out Chris Shore's live coverage of the show, and he'll be your spirit guide, as he is mine, as we venture through this treacherous path of TNA Impact. I say that. I should probably go and open up his report so I don't miss anything in this audio. Yeah, I'm great at this, guys. So Hulk Hogan comes out to a huge ovation. And I have two kind of thoughts on this. The first thought is really cynical. And I go, big crowd, London, they only get them once a year. Of course Hulk Hogan comes out first to get that first big pop and to take that away from anyone else. You know, the kind of anti-Hogan fan reaction. I wasn't really angry, but you know what I'm getting at. My second thought on it was, you know, I mean, Hogan's a big star. Like, a lot of them probably bought tickets because Hulk Hogan's going to be appearing on this show. Like, that's... a lot of those people probably have tickets for that reason. So, why not give them Hogan first? But Hogan did get the biggest reaction of the night. Just a huge reaction. And, you know, Hulk did the Hulk thing and fed into it. And, you keep going. You keep going. You keep going. You keep going. That kind of action where you can tell that he was trying to encourage them to keep the ovation going, rather than actually end it. But it was a big ovation. So, you know, good for Hulk. No one says he doesn't bring star power to TNA, you know? But it was a long entrance. I know, because I was trying to fast forward through as much of this show as possible without missing anything that mattered, because I was watching it very late at night. and I was like, oh, cool, I can probably skip it. Or, oh, cool, I'll watch the entrance. It's probably short. And it turned out to not be short at all. Damn you, Hulk Hogan. So Hulk Hogan talks about, you know, just, wow, this crowd. But basically Hulk cuts a promo saying, everyone tonight, or we're going to have these matches. And he runs down who would compete against Jeff Hardy at Lockdown, and says, you know, he has to pick someone. So he makes four matches. I think it was four. Christopher Daniels versus Magnus, Samoa Joe versus Kurt Angle, Rob Van Dam versus James Storm, and Bobby Roode versus Austin Aries, and says he's going to watch those four matches, and he's going to decide at the end of the night, he'll come back out here, that got a pop, he'll come back out, and he'll decide who's getting a TNA title shot. Cool. Like, it makes sense. You know, Hulk wants people to impress him. It does. The major issue for me is that it makes Hulk the star. And that's kind of, you know, you look at this ovation, and that's fine. I get it. It's a rare crowd. It's London. They want to see the Hulkster. But it makes a non-wrestler the star a little more than he should be. And that's one of the biggest issues, I think, that's facing TNA at this moment. But then we got Sting. Boom. Sting's music hits. Crowd goes crazy for that, too. You know, this crowd wants to see Sting and Hulk Hogan. And TNA... and you can question this, we can talk about it for a while. They gave them their two biggest, you know, the two biggest stars on this tour right up front. They said, here's Sting and Hulk Hogan. Now, you stay hot. And the London crowd did stay pretty hot for the entire show. It's not like they said, okay, I saw the big guys. Can I just go sip my beer by the concession stand? Maybe one, like, parent did that. But no one, you know, the crowd was into it the entire show. By the way, just how good did this place look? I don't think TNA is going to draw crowds like this in America. And, you know, if they do, I'll be psyched. But man, this, and I know I mentioned it at the very top, or right after I did the little plug, but man, this place looked phenomenal. Sting comes out, says he's going to be watching tonight, too, because he heard the Aces and Eights challenge for Lethal Lockdown. I think they made that challenge on Twitter. How weird is that? The Aces and Eights, by the way, for a biker gang, dynamite social media guy. They really have a social media presence that organizations like the Hell's Angels and stuff should be jealous of. The Aces and Eights is doing it right. I mean, they're the 21st century biker gang. They have technology at their disposal. It's fantastic. He says, Lethal Lockdown, we accept your challenge. I'm going to be watching tonight. I'm recruiting a team. And then he says, what you going to do when the Stinger runs wild on you? I think that was Sting that said that. I'm pretty sure. And Hogan and Sting posed to close the segment. Chris Shore didn't like it. He thought it was very much just for the live crowd, that it seemed like it was pandering. And I didn't exactly feel like it was pandering. I felt like showing how alive that crowd was really important for this show. And also showing, hey, these are the matches we're going to have. Hulk Hogan basically came down and ran down the night's card. I see nothing wrong with it. I thought it was a fun opening. It was cool to be like a member of the crowd and react the way that they would at home. Like, yeah, that match is going to be awesome. It was cool. It worked for me. It definitely worked for me. So we went to commercial after that, came back. Daniels and Kazarian make their entrance, and a video recapped what happened between them and Magnus 2 weeks ago. Magnus comes out next, and just, you know, 2 weeks ago I was talking about how he looked like a star, how great he looked, and he looked even better in front of this crowd. And I really hope that what they're doing with Magnus carries over to the States, that they're not just going, hey, you get a two-week push because, you know, you're on every other show taped in the UK. I hope that Magnus sticks. TNA can use a guy like Magnus in the main event scene for sure. But the next match was Magnus versus Christopher Daniels. Daniels had Kazarian in his corner. That led to Kazarian interfering, the referee noticing, giving him the big, you're thrown out spot. That got a pop. I mean, you know, the fun thing about these crowds is that TNA had gotten to the point at the Impact Zone, and not everyone acknowledges this, even the wrestlers, man, they had to do a lot. You know, the crowd wasn't going to pop for the average spot that works on every house show crowd, works on every outside pay-per-view. No, they had to give them more. They had to feed them more. That crowd had a Ryback-like appetite for Angles. Not like Kurt and Eric Angle, but Angle. Angles is the wrestling jargon since. And now, with them getting out of the Impact Zone, they're going to have the opportunity to do these basic things on the show that work and are fine for the TV audience. And I feel like the manager getting thrown out, Angle is one of them. But Daniels gets thrown out, or Magnus, Kazarian gets thrown out. Someone got thrown out, damn it. And Magnus was able to get his big comeback and slam Daniels, go, you know, point to the top rope, get his big elbow drop. Magnus beat Christopher Daniels in 505. The only issue that I really have with this is, I mean, a couple weeks ago, Daniels was competing for the world title. You know, he's still a potentially strong tag team competitor. And while I'm a fan of pushing Magnus, I lack the confidence that they're going to keep pushing Magnus, which means that I think putting this loss on Daniels may have been a waste. And he's had a lot of losses put on him recently. So storytelling-wise, I don't know if it was the best decision. At the same time, I mean, you know, this gives Sting more than enough reason to say, hey, Magnus, I need you on my Lethal Lockdown team. That's a big spot for Magnus to be in. So, I can't complain too much. We then got Bully Ray and Brooke Hogan backstage. Bully was laying on Brooke's lap and basically said, I've never let an injury keep me down. I can't believe this. I really want to be world champion. It's all I want. Bully seemed kind of whiny or just like, oh, this is so sad. Brooke, I'm sad. Look at how sad I am. And it's not often that I get to critique a Bully Ray performance negatively. But I didn't love this one. Basically saying, you know, I've always wanted to be champion, like your father, and I'll never get that I should have that opportunity, but I'm injured, so I can't go out there and impress Hulk tonight, and I'm sad. But then he was like, you know what? Let's do our Valentine's anyways. Let's not let this ruin Valentine's for us. Let's go out dancing. Go out to get you that dress you wanted and those shoes you wanted. Just, you know, basically did the classic man thing on Valentine's Day. Quick Valentine's Day side story. Yesterday, Valentine's Day, I worked a, like, 16-hour day. I work for a symphony as a stage manager, and it's just, you know, some days, you know, we had Kenny G in town for a concert with our symphony last night and for the next few days. So, one of the stagehands, or one of the guys who works at the concert hall, comes up to me. Different organization. It's a weird setup. But comes up to me, and I was running out to get some supplies early in the day, and says, hey, can you grab me an iTunes gift card? And hands me cash, and I'm like, really? And he's like, it's for my wife for Valentine's Day. Guys, you may love your ladies, and the way to show that is never an iTunes gift card that you have someone else buy at the last minute. Just a little word of advice here. Just a little word of advice. Yeah. But they went out, and then Brooke was like, oh, but you have to do something for me. And Bully's like, what? And she says, wear your wedding ring. And, you know, holds up a ring, says, I found it by the sink. And I think a lot of people, Chris Shore's foreshadowing bell went off, mine went off. I'm sure, you know, my ninth grade English teacher would have been like, that's foreshadowing. That was definitely, I think, foreshadowing a Bully Ray turn in the future. You know, he's not wearing the ring. Maybe he's with the Aces and Eights sluts. Sluts, whores, they've said they're prostitutes, right? So whore is no longer a derogatory term for them. I feel so hateful saying whore. The Aces and Eights, ladies of the night. They don't have a choice, guys. I mean, you know, it's a rough life out there. We came back, we went to commercial, came back, and Magnus is cutting a promo about Aces and Eights, trying to put him out and having, and because of it, he has more fire in his belly. He said he just proved to the world that he's world champion competitor. Said he's a world-class competitor in a world-class arena in front of a world-class crowd. I think world-class could become a thing for Magnus, and I don't think it's a bad thing. Magnus just seems classy a lot of times. Like, Magnus isn't the guy who's going to come out and make a dick joke on TV. Magnus seems actually pretty, and it's because he's British, and, you know, we have that stereotype about the Brits. But I think he comes off as a classy dude, and that's a good thing. We then got Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle making their ring entrances. And then the announcers talked about the Olympics being cut, or the Olympics cutting wrestling, and, you know, how Kurt Angle's going to do all he can to get it back. By the way, what kind of BS is that? The Olympics cut wrestling. It was an original Olympic sport. It was probably one of six things that they could actually do. It's just go and hold that guy down. That you try and hold him down. Let's see who can win. Like, that's... And they cut that. That's stupid. I'm bored to tears by Olympic wrestling. I don't watch it that often unless I happen to be in a bar and they're showing one of the medal matches or whatever. But I still don't understand how you ever cut that from the Olympics. And you keep table tennis in. It's freaking ping pong, people. It is ping pong. It's more interesting when played with beer. That's how bad table tennis is. I'd be chill with beer pong being an Olympic sport, actually. Anyways, we got Samoa Joe versus Kurt Angle next, and this match was slow. Comparatively, I feel like I'll never be able to really watch and enjoy a Samoa Joe versus Kurt Angle match again. Because in my head are the expectations of the old Joe, and really the old Angle. And both guys have slowed down. You know, Joe's probably carrying around an extra 100 pounds compared to their classic matches. Angle is just, he has like half a leg, a fourth of a neck, like, Angle's a cyborg, which I think is a really funny nickname for him, because I'm convinced he might be half robot. But Angle and Joe, they put on a fine match. It, you know, was a TV match, never really got into a big gear. They went to commercial in the middle. That was part of it, is there was the commercial in the middle. Joe did a big outside dive, and the crowd got into that. And then, you know, he hit the ST Joe as well, but Angle, Joe kicked out of the Angle Slammer. No, no sold the angle slam, just stood up. That was a cool moment. That was one of those, oh, it's the old Joe for just a second where he got angle slammed and popped right back up and you thought, Joe's going to kill that guy. Joe's still good at that. I'm not criticizing Joe necessarily, but he's gotten bigger and he's not, you know, it affects him in the ring and he looks bigger. Like his look, you know, the effectiveness of his look has diminished the effectiveness of just his size. Like Joe isn't what Joe used to be. And who is? Like, I'm thinking of Joe from like 2008 at the latest. It's 5 years later now. Who, you know, of course he's going to put on weight. Of course he's going to change. Genetics are really working against him. Dude's Samoan. Like, Samoan genetics say, you're going to get fat. Nothing you can do about that. Yep, it's happening. There you go. And heck, he's probably like, I'm in fine shape. I'm, you know, doing what I do. I can still perform at a pretty high level in the ring. I don't got to kill myself to be who I was 5 years ago. That's awesome. So, you know, I'm kind of criticizing him, but at the same time, backtracking on it a little bit because I don't want Samoa Joe to find me and kill me. But yeah, this match went to a no contest when the Aces and the Eights interfered, namely Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe. They ran out, attacked them. Angle and Joe got the upper hand, but Garrett and Wes fled. Cool. Backstage, Dixie Carter gave the losing British Boot Camp contestants a pep talk and said, you know, just because you didn't win doesn't mean you don't need to bring it. You need to bring it tonight. Do what you do, basically. And it was Party Marty and the Blossom Twins versus Gail Kim, Tara, and Jesse after the break. Chris Shore might be obsessed with the Blossom Twins, who looked good in this match. I mean, they looked a little green, but I especially their double team offense I thought was fun and unique. They seem a little more athletic than the Bella Twins ever did, although I would kill for a Bella Twins versus Blossom Twins match. Both of them, I mean, think about the sweet spots you can do. Both of them doing the twin magic, both of them, you know, every team just getting really confused as to who they were fighting. Oh, it'd be brilliant, except the Bella Twins don't look that much like twins anymore. Well, they do, but, you know, it's pretty easy to tell. I don't know if the announcers could say it. Like, you know how they're always like, well, this Uso has a tattoo on his chest, so that's Jimmy. What would they do? Well, you see, Nikki Bella, or I don't remember which one has it, but she's got large breasts. The King maybe could get away with that. She's got large breasts, so that's that one. Come on, referee, check those boobs. But the Blossom Twins have a set of cool double-team moves. Marty went to dive to the floor at one point and damn near killed himself. Overshot, Jesse was on the floor. He overshoots Jesse and just rockets himself into the very solid barricade at ringside. This wasn't like your average just metal bar, it's going to move. This was like, it is stuck into the ground and it will withstand a soccer riot style barricade. And that spot looked real bad. But Kim hit the eat defeat on Hannah, I believe, for the win. It was Gail Kim, Tara, and Jesse defeating the British Boot Camp trio in 11:28. Post-match, Gail Kim said she was the most dominant knockout ever, and she wants a title, you know, she wants a shot at that title again. Brooke Hogan needs to do the right thing and give her a title shot. Brooke Hogan comes out and says, fine, you can have a title shot at Tara next week, but so can this woman. And it was Brooke Tessmacher. And so can this woman. And it was Velvet Sky. And then Brooke Hogan said it's going to be a four-way elimination match between these four women. And the winner walks away with the Knockouts title. Simple. Cool. I don't mind the booking. I actually like this better than any singles match between these four. Velvet Sky's weaknesses can hopefully be hidden in it. Brooke Tessmacher can shine. And Tara and Gail Kim can do most of the work. For realsies. Video recap, the Jeff Hardy announcement on Bellator. And Jeff Hardy getting hit with a hammer. Then we had another video about earlier in the night. There were like three videos in a row here. Backstage, Austin Aries and Bobby Roode talked about Hogan being scared of them, and that's why they're in a match together, and then they're like, well, I'm going to win the world title. No, you can have the knockout title and the X Division title. I don't want the X Division title. Just kept going back and forth. You know, it's the act that they're doing right now, and it's fine. We got a lot of it in their match, the main event of the evening, that I'll get into. It's well thought out. It's smart wrestling comedy. And at the same time, it just, you know, you look at the top of the card in TNA and you go, man, they really need more heels. And they've decided to put their heels here instead, which is strange. Then we got Rob Van Dam making his ring entrance, followed by James Storm. And this was these two guys just having a pretty good match. It, you know, I'm probably critical of RVD more than most, and I was entertained by this Rob Van Dam match. I was entertained by James Storm. And I talked last week about how James Storm is a dude that really shouldn't be in a little mini feud with Jesse. James Storm should be in a feud. You know, if you don't have anything for him, put him in a feud with upper card guys. And this, at least with Rob Van Dam, it's an upper card guy. It's a star. And the end was, RVD hit the coast to coast, his Van Terminator without the chair. So I think it is just a coast to coast. He didn't hit Storm with it, but RVD still made the jump. You know, it came up empty, but he made the jump, and that's impressive to me. Storm moved after RVD hit the coast-to-coast. Storm, last call, super kick, 1, 2, 3. I had a long discussion this week on the .NET Countdown with Jake Barnett about how there's been a lack of super kick in my life, and Dolph Ziggler's super kick just doesn't fill it. His super kick isn't good, that's why. But man, I've got to say, James Storm has a nice super kick. I really like that. James Storm defeated Rob Van Dam at 5:48. We got a backstage segment with Joseph Park. And, you know, Joseph Park always, you know, I feel like him and the writers sit down and they try and come up every couple weeks with a new wrestling term for him to misinterpret. And this one was great. He told Hulk Hogan he wanted the title shot. And he was willing to politic to get it. And Hulk's like, politic? And he's like, yeah, I got buttons, bumper stickers. I got posters made up. Joseph Park for world champion 2013. And Hulk laughed and said, do you know what a rib is? And, you know, the boys in the back, they told you to politic, but they didn't tell you what that meant. And Park even hired a campaign manager. Yeah, pretty funny. I'll admit that this was good Joseph Park comedy. He's hit or miss, and this was really good. So then Hulk Hogan and Brooke were arguing before Joseph Park came in, and they started arguing afterwards, basically about Bully being champion, you know, about Bully wanting to be champion real, real bad. Then we got a backstage. Brooke, again, was pressuring her dad to give him the title, to give Bully the title shot. Hogan said he had to be objective. He would love for his son-in-law to be champion, basically. It was fine. I mean, Brooke's not terrible in these. She's really not. It's a fine, fine environment for her. So I didn't mind this at all. We got a video recapping the tag title switch last week. Rude and Aries made their entrances. And Rude was talking about how Hogan messed with the plan, and it only took him a week to do so. Said they're going to capture all the gold and bring prestige back to all the titles. Aries said if they were scared, they should just say so. The crowd was chanting Austin Aries, and Aries just goes, I know my name. That was funny. That was really good, actually. That was some classy stuff from Austin Aries, not soaking in the chants. He said they're on the same page, and they should just get it over with, and told the ref to ring the bell. So then Austin Aries and Bobby Roode get face-to-face and look at each other. And then Austin Aries goes to give the finger poke of doom to Bobby Roode. And Bobby Roode goes to give it to Austin Aries. And they're trying to get each other to lay down. God help me, I was entertained. They argued about it. Aries then picked up the mic, said he's going to be the bigger man. He laid down. Roode covered him. Aries got to the two count. And Aries rolled Roode up after that. Just funny stuff. Like, they cannot make a decision on who's going to do the job, but one of them is going to do it. The weird thing is it wasn't win your match night. It was impress Hulk Hogan night. So you'd think that that wouldn't actually work to impress Hulk Hogan. Just kind of, you know, a little bit of, this isn't real. Which I really shouldn't say while talking about wrestling. Yeah. But they came back from break, and both men locked up, and this was kind of where the match properly got going. And it was Bobby Roode and Austin Aries fighting to a double count out at 13:47. Let me run down this finish for you. At one point, both men, the referee got distracted, and Roode grabbed a chair, did the, you know, hit it on the mat, laid down. Aries freaked out, grabbed the chair, hit it on the mat, laid down. The ref turned around, and both men are down with the chair in between them. Cute. And they didn't use the chair on each other, actually. They would make dirty faces at each other while the ref would check on the other one. It's childish, but God help me, I'm laughing. Chavo and Hernandez then walked out wearing Aries and Roode t-shirts, because that's how you get at a guy. You wear his t-shirt. I'll bet they didn't pay for it either. They're not getting any royalties off of that. Roode and Aries step out of the ring to chase off Chavo and Hernandez. Babyfaces keep backing up and keep backing up. And the heels realize, oh God, we're about to get counted out. They both turn and run to the ring and try to push the other one down. And end up holding each other back from getting back to the ring. So that match ends in a double count out at 13:47. Funny. Cute. I don't know about Aries and Roode being involved in the story, but they're executing it well. And that's not always... It's one of those interesting things where you go, yeah, it's funny and you're doing it well, but you're capable of more. And the company needs more. It's not like... And maybe for some of you, the Daniel Bryan and Kane thing is like this. It's not like with Daniel Bryan and Kane where I go, you look at that main event scene of WWE right now, and as good as Daniel Bryan would be in it, you go, okay, we don't need Daniel Bryan here at the moment. We can put him on the back burner for a little while, put him in this thing with Kane, let him entertain instead of having to hardcore wrestle. And it's still good. That's how I feel about Roode and Aries. They're still good, but that company has a big void as far as the top heel goes, because their top heel right now is D-Von. D-Von. Think about that. D-Von. Backstage, Hogan talked to Sting about pressuring him and said this is going to be a really tough decision. And, Sting said he's glad he wasn't Hogan. Bully's out of it. It's sad. Kind of weird. Oh, and then Hogan went the wrong way and Sting corrected him at one point. That was also weird. Weird things sometimes happen on TNA shows. Anyways, Hogan made his entrance again, put over how hard it is to make a choice. He started to say more, boom, aces and eights, out the crowd, into the arena. They start do, you know, it's all of them. They start to do the surrounding them thing. Climb on the apron, and Ray runs out with a chain. Now, there's like seven or eight aces and eights. Hulk's in the middle of the ring. Hulk Hogan can barely walk. He's near crippled. Bully Ray runs down with the chain to, you know, beat up the aces and eights. And instead of, you know, actually the aces and eights going, okay, we'll fight you, they just run away. The one dude with a chain runs off seven, eight guys, and then Sting's music hits. Sting comes out with two baseball bats and a cricket bat, hands the baseball bats to Hogan and Ray, and holds the cricket bat up. And, you know, that was the aces and eights leaving, yelling to close the show. They don't look all that tough. It's still three dudes, two of them over 50. One of them over 40, to be honest. So, kind of strange what's going on with the aces and eights. Obviously strange with what's going on with the aces and eights. I think we may get a Bully Ray turn at Lockdown at this point. Like, you know, the aces and eights ran off with him not having much force behind him. So that's kind of where I think that goes. I'm not even sure, guys. I'm really not. I don't know what TNA is doing right now as far as Lockdown goes. But at least they're looking at it. And we've got quite three, four more shows until Lockdown. So they've got time. Maybe more. Maybe five. Six? I don't know. I'm just going to keep naming numbers. 17. They've got a lot of shows until lockdown. They've got time, you know, the road to lockdown. At least it's kind of a slow burn. Like, okay, we know Lethal Lockdown is happening, but we don't know the participants. We'll get there. We know Jeff Hardy's defending the world title in a cage, but we don't know the, you know, we don't know the challenger. We'll get there. TNA is showing a lot of patience in that realm of storytelling, and that's nice. Yeah, I didn't love the show, but a hot crowd makes up for a lot of things. Some good in-ring action makes up for a lot, too. Joe and Angle had a okay match, you know, a pretty good match. Like I said, it's hard to judge a Joe and Angle match these days. Joe and Angle had a pretty good match. You had Storm and RBD having a pretty good match. Daniels and Magnus having a pretty good match. And the main event was entertaining for what it was. Well, that's four good matches we're talking about there. It's hard not to like that. So TNA did a nice job with this one. I thought that this was definitely the best UK show yet, and maybe it is that London's hotter than Manchester for these things. I really liked it. Next week, we get our last show in the UK, and I'm excited about Impact not being as pre-taped as it is here, because this was the third show in 2 days. Next week will be the fourth show in 2 days. Like, just an insane taping schedule. It'll be fun to see what they do when they're not on quite as insane of a schedule. But yeah, TNA, they're telling some interesting and compelling stories, and I'm happy to see that. They are also telling some weird ones, like Aces and Eights, that aren't that great. But that's life. Overall, a good episode of Impact. I'll give it my stamp of approval. Good. Yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up this week. Thank you guys for listening to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. Thank you guys. Please, go check out the ProWrestling.net sale. It ends Sunday. We're not messing around here. We're not going to extend it forever. It's a one-week sale that was made to celebrate our fifth anniversary. This is it. You know, we don't offer sales all that often. I guarantee you there won't be another one before WrestleMania season starts. We're talking about, you know, your chance to get in at a low rate, lock it in till before, you know, till next year's Elimination Chamber, basically. You get yourself some of that. Also, if you maybe you don't feel like paying for the site, whatevs, that's chill. You're making a mistake, though. But that's chill. Check out our Elimination Chamber coverage this weekend. You're going to have Jason Powell doing live coverage of the show. He's, for members, there's going to be audio after the show. And, you know, stay tuned to .net all weekend for your Elimination Chamber news. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for any support that you've offered ProWrestling.net, whether it's listening to the podcast, you know, just visiting the site, but using the app, telling your friends about it. And of course, for the members, thank you guys for being members. We really appreciate it. It's an honor to write for this site. It's an amazing thing to think that this site's been around for 5 years, and I feel really lucky to be able to be a part of it. So thank you guys. Thank you so much for your support in any way that you support us, even if it's just by visiting the site. And you have a phenomenal day and weekend.